Welcome everyone to our Sunday night service here at Calvary, and what a blessing and honor and joy it is to be here once again, and to be able to minister to you via Facebook Live. And so we're thankful for you joining, and praying that we'll get another good audience that joins tonight through Facebook. This morning I've seen that we've had over 800 views from the service this morning, and we reached over 1,000 people, and we just praise the Lord for that. That is wonderful, excellent, and very exciting, to be quite honest with you, that we had over 800 views. We're so proud of the ladies this morning and the great job singing they did, and we're just blessed here at Calvary to be able to have the talent that we have, and so we are feasting off the service from this morning all day today. And, of course, this morning we concluded our sermon series on God's gift to man. And we talked about after the gift, or after Christmas, is what we preached about this morning. And we talked about the wise men and how they came, and yet how that Herod struggled for kingship and did not want to give it up over to Jesus. But whether kings or princes down here on earth don't want to give up their spot, Jesus is king. He's Lord anyway. And so we're praising the Lord tonight for being the prevailing king. And again, it's a brand new service this evening and tonight, and we are looking forward to bringing you God's word one more time for what the Lord has laid on our hearts for tonight. Again, I would like for us all to continue to remember those we mentioned this morning, and specifically, there's a lot of urgent needs, but a special prayer request, I should say, was mentioned this morning, and it has to do with little Gracie Martin's classmate, and that is that the classmate had a brother that unfortunately had passed through a house fire on the day after Christmas, I believe it was. And so let's pray for this family and the mom, the dad, Gracie's classmate, and for days ahead, and all of those things. Let's remember this family. Also, let's remember Brother Arnold McCrickard, and he's going on the 5th. To have a cancerous kidney removed. And so we're remembering Brother Arnold. And let's just remember all of these who have been touched by the virus. Miss Mary Rich and Miss Dolores Palmer had commented on the church page this morning through the service that many of her family members have been touched by the virus. And of course, Miss Vandiver, Miss Lynn Vandiver, has a friend that's been touched by the virus as well, and many are dealing with this, and so we pray that the Lord would bless and make better all of these who have been sick, and the good Lord willing, we'll meet back next Sunday morning in person. This will be our first Sunday of the new year. 2021, and this will be our Christmas offering at the conclusion of the service. We weren't able to have that last Sunday, so we'll have that on next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. In-person worship is what the plans are. All right, well, we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening, and Lily's going to sing a special for us just after I pray. And then we'll bring the message tonight. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, your name is above every name. Lord, we have humbled our hearts and confessed you as Lord on this side of heaven. There are some, Lord, multitudes who have not. We pray that they do. But if not, they will confess on the other side. The Bible says things on the earth, under the earth, we'll confess to the glory of God that you're Lord. And so, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for who you are, for what you do, and how you work in our lives. Lord, thank you for giving your Son. Lord, we just do our best to give back to you tonight in form of service, just a gift to you through music, through a message to say thank you for what you've done. We love you tonight. We do pray a special prayer over this dear family that was in a house fire in Bartow County, that you'd be with them, Lord, during this time. Be with Brother McCrickard as he gets ready for his surgery, that you'd touch him and guide the doctor's hands during his time of operation. And be with all of these on the prayer list, those who have been battling the virus, Lord, those who've had lost loved ones due to the virus. We just pray for grace and strength during this time. Let tonight be a night of fruitfulness, and we'll praise you for it. Praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lily's going to come around at this time and sing a special, and so you listen to the words. Someday you Well, we're blessed this evening. We are blessed. And tonight we're going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, for a few moments. Revelation 4. What I was going to say was that old saying, too blessed to be stressed, but we still feel stress, although we're blessed, don't we? We are blessed. Revelation chapter number 4, and in just a moment I want to read two verses. That's verse number 4 and verse number 10. And Revelation 4, and in just a moment, verse 4, verse number 10. If you heard much teaching and preaching out of the book of Revelation, that you'll know that it's a book of revealing. And the Lord chose John and directed him to the isle called Patmos to show him some things. And God had orchestrated the events that led John to this isle called Patmos, and that was he was actually exiled for preaching the gospel, John was. And he was arrested and he was positioned on this lonely, lonely isle called Patmos. But it was at this lonely, lonely place where God showed him the hereafter. This is not the message tonight, but I do want to say that this still stands true today, that we experience dark places in life. We experience loneliness, but if you're a child of God, God has a way of showing us big things, bright things in dark places. And so tonight we have John the Revelator. And you know that in chapter number 1 through chapter number 3, we have the church age. And we have these churches that God is showing to John, and he is writing to these churches, and these churches have messages. These were literal churches, but at the same time, they carry spiritual significance even unto the day and time in which we live. For instance, the church of Laodicea, it was a lukewarm church. And we're definitely living in those times of lukewarmness. But we get to chapter number 4 this evening. And in verse number 1, we have, I believe, the rapture of the church. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 4, after this. And he's referring back to all the things that the revelations, the revealing of these churches that John received from God and wrote down, delivered to the churches. After this, after the church age, the Bible says, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so we know and we believe that this trumpet that was talking with John was a revelation of the trumpet that will be sounded when Jesus comes for us. Then in verse number 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And listen to this, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 4 and verse number 10. because there's something in the future that's happening around this throne. In verse number 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads, notice this, crowns of gold. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Listen to this. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Verse 4 in verse number 10 mentions the subject of crowns. Now in verse number 4, it also mentions 24 seats and the 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. I believe tonight this is a representation of the church. The 24 seats with 24 elders that are sitting and clothed in white raiment speaks of righteousness, being washed in the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says in that latter verse, or that latter part of verse 4, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 10 mentions that these crowns of gold that they had on their head were cast before the throne of the Lord. Tonight, with that preface, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, casting crowns. Casting crowns. We've been talking about this entire month on God's gift to us. But wouldn't it be nice tonight to have a gift for Christ that we could give to Him? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be due benevolence, if you would? I mean, wouldn't that be due to Christ for everything that He has done for us? Wouldn't that be due from us? We are debtors, Paul says in the Bible. We are debtors. And we are debtors to the Lord to live a life that's well-pleasing to Him. We are debtors tonight to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God that He has showed toward us and He has given us. And so as we've been talking about God's gift to us, the Lord Jesus, during the Christmas season, I want to change that tonight and talk about our gift to Him. Talking about these crowns that one day will be cast at Jesus' feet. Let me say this, after death, we all will face the Lord. Saved or lost, we all will face the Lord. Did you know that? In the book of Hebrews chapter number 9, in verse number 27, the scripture says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, saved or lost, everybody is going to be standing before Jesus one day. Now, for the lost person, those of you maybe that are out there that do not know Jesus as your Savior, never been a time and place where you have accepted His plan of salvation, repented of your sin, and turned to Him, the Bible says that in that day, after death will be the judgment. In that day, the lost person will hear, Depart from me, I never knew you. In fact, in the Gospels, there's much speaking about this event on Judgment Day, facing the Lord for those who have prophesied in His name, those who have done many, many mighty works in the name of Jesus or the name of religion, but yet have never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And the Bible says that one day they will hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. How sad that is tonight to know that there's coming a day when all of us will die. Unless Jesus comes back first for those that are saved, we all are going to go by the way of the grave. And for those who do not know Him as Savior, they will stand before, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Those who do not know Him, those who have thumbed their nose at the Lord on this side of eternity, those who said, no, I don't need Jesus, they will face Him. And Jesus will open heaven's scroll like this. And He will go down heaven's scroll looking for their name. And the Bible says, if their name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. How sad that is. But listen, justice will be served. And while I hope and I pray that nobody I know, nobody I love goes to hell, truth of the matter is there will be multitudes upon multitudes going to hell on judgment day. And justice will be served. There are so many in our day and time that, oh, they thumb their nose at God. And there's the politicians that use His name in vain on public TV. And they say in the name of God, they're a reverend and they're a preacher. But listen, that is so far from the truth. Justice will be served. All of the babies that have been aborted and all of those, the movement in our day who is for the Democratic Party, who's for pro-choice. There is coming a judgment day. There is coming a day of justice. And I want to say, unless you know Jesus as your Savior, you will hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Well, now, for the saved, it's a different thing. The lost will hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Their name is not found in the book of life. They're cast in the lake of fire. But what about for the saved? Well, when we die, again, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. For the saved, we will not be judged according to our sins, but we will be judged according to our stewardship. Now, we're going to turn over, you can follow along, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. You see, whenever a Christian passes from this life, it's a precious thing, the death of a saint in the sight of the Lord. But after death will be the judgment. And for the believer, we won't be judged according to our sins. That was taken care of at the cross, but we will be judged according to our stewardship as Christians. Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Look at verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. Listen to this. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord looks upon us tonight as Christians and believers, and we're to be about the Father's business. You heard the parable of the man with distributing the talents, and one did such and such work, and the other did such and such work, and some other one, you know, they hid some of their talents. And then there came a day of reckoning where that the talent distributor, he came back, and it was a time of judgment. Well, we, as well as the church, we have been given gifts, and we're to be stewards of our gifts. And one day we will be judged not based upon our sin, but our stewardship of the talents we've been entrusted with. Now, in chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians, I want you to notice something. In verse number 11, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so Paul here, he is giving us a picture of the Christian's judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be judged according to our stewardship. Now, he mentions in verse number 12, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. In verse number 13 says that our works will be tried by fire, and if it's wood, hay, or stubble, those things will be consumed. But we know that gold, silver, precious stone will be lasting, and we will receive reward based upon our faithfulness to God in this life. And I believe with all my heart that the gold, the silver, and the precious stone is symbolic and speaks of crowns. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about casting crowns. There are five crowns that's listed in the New Testament. Five crowns. And these crowns that are listed in the New Testament are crowns that can actually be earned. And as we read in Revelation chapter number 4, verse 4 and verse number 10, we know that one day when we see Jesus, if we have any kind of reward, then we'll be able to cast those rewards, those crowns, at the feet of Jesus, because he deserves a gift from us. What are these crowns? Well, number one, there's the incorruptible crown that you and I can earn. Notice, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, in verse number 24. The incorruptible crown. And now this crown, it speaks of learning the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, in verse 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown," listen to this, "but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul here in these verses is painting us a picture of athletics. He's given us a picture of sports, especially in those days, the Gretchen games and the Roman games and all of these sporting events that took place in the amphitheater. Paul begins to talk about that these people, they would train, and they would watch their diet. They would work out, and they would prepare for that game day, because there was one prize. And the person who finished to the end, the person who trained the most, that could endure the event and make it to the finish line, they would get a prize. But that was a corruptible prize, or a corruptible crown. In fact, many of those crowns in that day was just simply garland and leaves that are kind of wrapped together. and placed, intertwined the roots and the stems as a crown, a corruptible crown. But Paul likens that to the believer. Now I want you to notice, he says in verse number 25, in every man that striveth for the mastery, these games, these Gretchen games, is temperate or has self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible. And in verse number 26, he brings it home and he compares it to his life. Being a believer and being a preacher, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, in boxing, there's called shadow boxing. And the shadow boxing practice that would take place would literally be someone who is standing in front of the mirror or standing at a place and they're just throwing punches. They're warming up. They're practicing. Shadow boxing. Paul says that this is how they do it in an event. In these Gretchen games, they train to receive a corruptible crown. But Paul says, I'm not one who's beating the air. He says, no. I'm not in competition against someone else. I'm not training to fight someone else. Paul says, I'm not one who's beating the air. So fight I. He says, I am in a race against myself. He says, I am battling myself in verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And Paul says that there's one that I look into the mirror every day, and that's my competitor. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now that word, or the phrase, but I keep under my body, it has to do with the idea of blacketing the eye, buffeting oneself, bringing in those evil inclinations, saying no to the flesh because you know the end result of the flesh. It's saying yes to the Spirit of God day in and day out by practicing. Paul says, my fear is this, is that I get loose in my living and I fall victim of the same gospel that I'm preaching. He says, I go out and I preach about subjection. I go out and I preach about accountability. And I'm out and I'm preaching about Jesus and coming to the cross. And after coming to the cross, going after God hard in His holiness, being more like Him. I'm out preaching all of these things. And Paul says that I have to worry about me and me staying right because I can be disqualified in the area of being used by God. Paul feared that he'd be a castaway or, in essence, just sit upon the shelf. And so, therefore, because of that, Paul said, I don't want to be a has-been. He says, I want to be used, but in order for me to be used, I have to buffet myself. I have to bring my body in subjection. And so the Bible says there is a crown that we can earn for this. You say, Brother Justin, what part of learning the flesh or mastering the flesh? We'll never master the flesh, but what part of this do we actually earn the crown? When is it? When you first get saved, when you've been saved 5 or 10 years and you understand you're in a competition against yourself, when is it do you actually earn? I can't say when you actually earn this crown, but I can say this, that if you continue and not give up and keep going after it and keep going after God, not giving up, when you fall, you get back up because your righteousness is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You're not reliant upon yourself. You don't have to feel guilty because you are justified in God's sight. You get up, you dust yourself off, and you learn what not to do, and you now learn what to do, and through time you will mature in this area of laying aside the flesh. And I believe there is a crown that can be earned somewhere along the way between not giving up, between failure and not giving up, choosing to move on. I believe there's a crown that's earned somewhere in that process. And so there's an incorruptible crown. This has to do with learning the flesh. And this has to do with moving forward in the Christian life. There's a second crown that we can earn, that one day cast at Jesus' feet. Not only the incorruptible crown, but the crown of rejoicing. You say, what's that crown about? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, I want you to notice, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and in verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians 2, he says this, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Paul mentions in verse number 19 a crown of rejoicing. And it's attached to the fact of those who trusted Jesus as their Savior and who will one day be before Him, who now is in Him. He says again in verse number 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" Paul said that, he said, those that I preach to and you at Thessalonica that have accepted Jesus as your Savior, when He comes, you will be in that number. You will be in His presence. He says, this is a crown for me. This is the soul winner's crown. This is the crown you and I will receive, hopefully, of the soul that you took 5 or 10 minutes to talk to day after day. That maybe you have witnessed to that has thumbed their nose at your gospel conversation, has thumbed your nose at the word you were sharing with them, or maybe you have shared Jesus with someone and they promised to come to church, and maybe they came to church but took a number of years, and then finally they gave their heart and life to Jesus. One day, there will be a crown for you that you will be able to cast at Jesus' feet. Crown of rejoicing. I've told this story before, and the story is simply this. My brother, I believe it was around 2000 or 2001, he competed in the Mr. Georgia bodybuilding contest, and he won. In fact, he won, this year as well. He did it one more time, and he won. But back in 2000, 2001, my brother competed, and he won a trophy. It was a trophy that showed everybody he was Mr. Georgia. I mean, they judged him, and all the judges says, yeah, he has the definition. Yeah, he has the mass. It may be hard for most to believe that I'm the brother of a bodybuilder, but I am. But my brother struggled with bodybuilding in the life that was connected to it. And he will even tell you himself he struggled with the life of a bodybuilder and what's connected to it. He came under conviction one day. Me and him both, I believe we were at a winter retreat with Floyd Road. And this was actually before I was saved. And we came back from that retreat. And, I guess it was 2002. Because it's when I got saved. But my brother led me to the Lord in 2002 in Iron House Fitness. And he told me that he laid down his earthly trophy and God gave him a heavenly trophy referring to me. And I got to thinking about that today, more specifically, when I was studying, and that is absolutely the truth. When we tell somebody about Jesus and they accept Him as Savior, there is a crown for that. And it's the soul winner's crown. Paul said, for what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. There's a crown to be won, and that is telling that soul about Jesus. Living your life, letting your light shine. Sometimes actions speak louder than words when we're soul winning. But let us win souls. He that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs says. There's a third crown tonight. And that is the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy 4. I want you to notice what Paul says here. Verse number 7, we'll start. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Notice this, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So there's the crown of righteousness. And so Paul says that this crown of righteousness, a crown of righteousness, verse 8 says, that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give him at that day, but not only him, but he says, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So the crown of righteousness, at least in this context, has to do with looking for the Lord in his second return. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let me say this. There's a difference between loving and longing for his appearing versus loving and longing for our disappearing. There's a difference. Some are, and I understand both, but there is a longing to disappear from this earth. But there's also a longing to see His appearing as we leave this earth. And there's a difference. The difference is we want to see Jesus. The difference is we want to be with Him. Now, there is a kickback to that. There is another side to that. And that is we also love and long for our disappearing. We want to leave this earth. We want to leave our cares behind and all of those things and the struggles and all of that. But listen, we have a stewardship while we're here. And we're to be busy serving the Lord and telling people about Jesus, but also longing for His appearing, being caught up in Him. And not so much just being a kind of person who's just ready to throw in the towel and quit. And so all of those that love His appearing, and both are closely connected, but all those who love His appearing will have a crown of righteousness. And one day, we will be able to take our crown off as we sit in our seat at the judgment, and we will be able to give our crown to the one who enabled us to even get the crown. It's not so much about the crown as it is having something to offer the one who offered everything for us. The crown of righteousness. Notice number 4, the crown of life. James chapter number 1, listen to this. James chapter number 1, there's the crown of life. Now this crown has to do with trial endurance. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. Blessed or happy is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Just know this tonight, church. When you go through a trying experience, when you are being tried, God is getting ready to give you a crown. In fact, we could even say that whenever we're getting ready or we're going through a trying experience, we're being fitted for a crown. Because if we endure that trial, we stay with God. And the key word here is endureth. Endureth temptation. I don't believe that the temptation he's referring to here has to do with sin. I believe it has to do with trials and being in the fires of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, the only person that tries us to bring out the better in us is Jesus. He will never try or tempt us to do evil. That's the devil. The Lord will never do that. The Lord may allow the devil to mess with us and agitate us. It's the Lord that tries our faith. And he uses trials and long periods of time of testing that may develop our faith. And it has to do with our enduring, staying with God, trusting him. Going through the valley and then seeing the sunshine. Somewhere in that process, there's a crown to be won. What's the song the old pastor used to sing? Little is much if God is in it. He goes on and he says, there's a crown and you can win it. And what a blessing, what a promise, what a blessing and truth it is in that song. There's a crown of life. It has to do with enduring trials. Child of God, tonight, if you're under heaviness, under a heavy load, and you're being pressured, and you're being tried, continue to bear up under that. God is fitting you for a crown so that you can cast it at his feet in the hereafter. Let me give you the last one, and we'll be through tonight. There's the incorruptible crown that's dealing with the flesh. Crown of righteousness deals with soul winning. Crown of rejoicing, deals with soul winning. Crown of righteousness has to do with longing for the second return, the crown of life, enduring trials. And then in 1 Peter chapter number 5, this is only for a select group of people, but this is the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter number 5, I want you to notice. Let me get to 1 Peter 5. I want you to notice here in verse number 2, this is the pastor's crown. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 2. Listen, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not by filthy lucre but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter is speaking of the under-shepherd. He's speaking of the pastor here. And in verse number 2, he says that if this pastor is going to get a crown, number one, he has to feed the flock. He has to take time and meditate and agonize over the needs of the sheep. And he has to feed the flock. And this ought to be a willing desire, a willing offering from the pastor. He's not the pastor because of the money or to draw a paycheck, but he has a strong desire to occupy the office of a bishop. He wants to feed the flock of God. He wants to nourish them with God's word. And so if the pastor is going to get this crown, number one, he has to feed the flock. Not only that, he says taking the oversight thereof. This just means he cares for the flock. And he's taking oversight. And he cares for the sheep. Not only he feeds the sheep spiritually, but he takes care of the sheep spiritually, physically, maybe even looking after. There's a lot of sick folks in our world, in the churches. They have to be cared and looked over. But nonetheless, he's taken the oversight, not just when it comes to the care of the sheep, but the administration of the church. When things happen in the church, he's to take the oversight and he's to operate out of that oversight. He says, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse number 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. I believe the pastor of a church is not to be a dictator, but he's to be a demonstrator. He's not to be a dictator, but a demonstrator. God's man, God's pastor in these churches, in any given church, he ought not to lead his church with a heavy fist. He is not to shear the sheep, but lead the sheep. The pastor is to be a demonstrator of the faith, not a dictator of the faith. You've experienced some of these churches before, like I have, where the pastor preaches down to the people 3 times a week and goes on revivals, preaching revivals. He's preaching down to everybody and probably living in sin the whole time. Listen, the pastor is not to be a lord. The church already has a lord. The pastor is to be an example. The pastor is to take oversight, look after everything that goes on in the church. And the pastor is so blessed to have deacons to do that, that God set in motion. He's to feed the church. And the Bible says, if these things are done, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Listen, we're preaching about crowns tonight. But truly, it's not about us reaping rewards and prancing over heaven, all over heaven with crowns on our head. Heaven is not really all about a street of gold and all of the splendor that it has, and it does have those things, but heaven is about Jesus. And heaven is about when we die and leave this earth, it's about leaving, knowing, like Paul knew, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's what it's about, knowing that you finished well and that there might be something on the other side that you can take off as those 24 elders, which represent the church, and cast toward Jesus' feet. That's my prayer tonight. I want to serve God with the time I have left. He only knows the time I have left. Time you have left. I want to serve him acceptably, and I want to be able to maybe one day have something to give back to him. And again, in conclusion, I just want to read you Revelation 4:10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Father, tonight we love You, we thank You, we praise You for who You are, for what You do. I've done my best, Lord, to rightly divide Your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit has applied it, Your word, to those watching. I hope it was a blessing and to help. As we give a virtual invitation, I pray that if there's one watching that doesn't know You, that they would phone a friend to talk about You, or maybe they've been enlightened enough tonight to call upon You. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And for the Christian that may be away tonight, that may feel like there's no use of fighting this fight, let them know, Lord, that it's through the fight their weakness is made strong. It's through the fight that the incorruptible crown is earned and one day laid at Jesus' feet. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to pray, this is our virtual invitation. You can pray.